Mayfield's going to throw for 23 touchdowns. He's going to have 11 interceptions. He's going to throw for 3,500 yards. And his quarterback rating is going to be about 90. I don't care if you got your dog at your feet. I'm going to pet your dog. I'm going to give you a neck massage. And then I might even buy you a beer.
Buccaneers fans, the season is here, finally here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, the regular season, because we go year round. And the sage of Tampa Bay sports is in the house. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, where Ira will be Sunday at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, watching the Bucks with fans. One of his favorite things to do. We'll talk about that later, Sage, but good times to be had on 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Big Storm Brewing Company tap room, indoor, beautiful seating, covered outdoor seating. If you like that vibe, we got something for everybody, including great food and Florida's best craft beer. Now, we've got a very special episode today, Sage. It is our annual predictions episode, and we'll even take a very quick look back at your 24 predictions last year. Some of them are pretty good, some of them are not so good. But of course, hey, you make 24 predictions, you know, come on, you're not going to get them all right. But it's always right. Everything's always on the money at Bill Curry Ford. They present all of your work, Ira, at joebucksfan.com. Bill Curry Ford, $500 in your pocket if you order a new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, no deposit, through their concierge online ordering service. It is so convenient, so easy. So many people are enjoying it. And again, no deposit, and it's just fantastic. And Sean Sullivan, the GM, gives you $500 just to do it. And he'll even throw in the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that if you give him a call and let him know. And the Ira Kaufman discount always applies. Maybe you're buying fleet vehicles or used vehicles, a body repair. Let Sean Sullivan know. You can find him at Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Good credit, bad credit, Sage. They can get you approved today. They even do some in-house financing. And they're just fantastic there. Family owned for 64 years almost now. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, very appropriately, Ira, the new hurricane on the way is called Hurricane Lee. What do you think about that?
It's going to do a lot of damage. That's what it means.
Yeah, Hurricane Lee, and Lee DeCamper, of course, is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And we mentioned that because Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call anytime you have damage in your home. From a storm, fire, mold, flood, whatever it is, you call them 24/7 and they are going to respond by giving you a free evaluation at your property. They'll bring out all their technology and let you know what's going on, and they can work with you with your insurance company so you do not get ripped off, because that happens, Sage. It's terrible. Isn't that terrible, Ira, that goes on even in today's society where the insurance companies regulated by the state are screwing people on these claims?
One of the worst things imaginable, Steve. I just went through something. I took out insurance on a flight with my wife, and we ended up not taking it because of a medical situation. I had to file paperwork and keep going back to the doctor about five different times for the documents that they wanted. And finally, today, the very day we're taping this podcast, Steve, I got the check in the mail that the claim was accepted. So I'm a happy camper.
I remember, Ira, you probably invested a good 6 hours into pulling back your $300 there. That's no rate of return for the Sage when you've already bought the insurance. But there's corruption everywhere, and Florida's Elite Restoration fights it, and they fight for homeowners. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So do members of his team. And they are going to fight for you and get you that money. And more important, perhaps, is to fix your property the way it's supposed to be and get it restored so you protect your investment. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Sage, you've got that 2020 cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. You got it parked. You're ready to talk some Bucks football, Ira. One thing I wanted to put on the table first, because it's fresh news, Cody Mauch appears on the injury report, starting right guard. Guy's got a back injury.
I was just talking to the guy the other day in the locker room. All smiles, all ready to go. You know, strange things happen towards the end of a week, Steve. Strange things happen. Guys pop on, you know, the injury report, and you got no reason to think that they've tweaked anything. And there's Cody Mauch. I don't know who would fill in for him at right guard. but I was kind of looking forward to watching the guy play on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good question because the knee-jerk reaction, I think, is Aaron Stinney, who, of course, filled in for Alex Kappa and on the march to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. But Stinney is 12 and a half months removed from ACL surgery. Now, he's on the roster, and supposedly he's good to go, and he played in the preseason. But, man, you know, he probably has some rust on him, and ACL says it all. You've got Nick Leverett, who played left guard last year, and is just a little undersized and not that great. I don't feel good about him next to Gedeki out there, but Malk was a rookie too. I don't know what they do.
The only silver lining, Steve, and the Viking defense, it ain't nothing to write home about. It's lousy. They even lost a couple of players off last year. And last year they were lousy. And they lost two of their better defensive players. So I think the Buck offense, now I didn't know about Malka when I started writing this column, but I think the Buck offense is on course for a nice afternoon on Sunday.
Before we bring Lee in, can you give your best invitation to Bucks fans to join you at Big Storm Brewery on Sunday?
Come on, there's tater tots that you're going to order that I need to grab. I did it at the fantasy draft. Some guy had tater tots, another guy had fries. Every time they turned to their left and looked away, I grabbed one. So I need to do that on Sunday. I want to meet all our listeners, all our readers. I'm going to go around from table to table, make personal house calls. I don't care if you got your dog at your feet. I'm going to pet your dog. I'm going to give you a neck massage, and then I might even buy you a beer. How about that? So I'm looking forward to Sunday. And I want a big crowd out there on Sunday.
All the details at joebucksfan.com.
Well, if Stinney was not able to play, wouldn't they put him on the PUP list?
Just saying it may be, you know, he may need a few games to ease in there full speed, full bore, almost like Shaq.
Well, Shaq was an Achilles. And, yeah, I think that's two totally different injuries. And I just got a feeling they didn't think Stinney could go. They put him on the PUP list to start the season.
Before we go any further on a somber note, but I think it's one that we have to recognize, what a tragedy regarding Mike Williams. I always enjoyed talking to Mike Williams. Lee, I don't know how often you interacted with him. Kind of a fun-loving guy, and yeah. You wouldn't wish this to happen to anybody. He's had his share of drama over the years, Mike Williams. But you know what? For a couple of years, he was a darn good football player.
Yes, he was. Yeah, it's kind of sad how everything unraveled right about, what, a year after he signed his contract? And about a year after that, basically his life, well, I don't know about his life, but certainly his professional life unraveled. Just quickly unraveled.
Yeah, really sad story, Sage. I mean, I think Lee and I interacted with him a lot. He was an easy guy to talk to, pretty open, an intelligent guy. One of the things I remember about him, Ira, it was the first year that I decided, all right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch the combine. I like I'm studying draft picks. It's 2010. I'm going to go for it. And I remember watching the wide receiver workouts, not really knowing the players at all, and walking away from that saying, man, after Dez Bryant, this guy, Mike Williams, is incredible. And the Bucks got him in the fourth round. And I remember that year very early in training camp, Raheem Morris decided, hey, this is my number one receiver and we're just going to give him the ball and see what happens. And it worked out. He was even in the NFL Network top 100 that year when the Bucks were a nobody team, and who's voting for Buccaneers and who the heck is Mike Williams out of Syracuse in the fourth round. But he had a lot of respect and just a really sad situation. You know, he had some good seasons, but I feel bad. It almost feels like, Ira, that he squandered a lot of money, which was why he was working in construction like that.
Yeah, Lee, good draft pick by Mark Dominic. There weren't a lot of them, but that was one of them.
All right, Sage. Now, look, we've got this big prediction podcast here. It's an annual tradition. Are you ready? Are you nervous, Ira, that you're going to screw this up? What do you think?
Not only am I ready, Steve, and eager, but I want to preface the prediction situation by proclaiming, Lee, that I am on a roll. I'm on a serious roll going back to the Mayfield competition is over. And the other day, Steve asked me directly, hey, is Mike Evans going to hold out? I said, absolutely not. He's going to play at Minnesota. And then Steve said, how's he going to handle it this week? And I said, he's going to address it once and say that he's not going to talk about it again. Lee, that's exactly what happened.
Ira, can I rain on?
I'm on a roll, Isbitz. I'm on a roll.
Can I rain on your parade a little bit, Ira?
Yeah, piss on it a little bit.
All right. Just to piss on it a little bit, I said there's 0% chance that Mike Evans doesn't play week one. You put it at 15%. So just the record's out there, Ira.
That means you're on a roll.
But you did say exactly what Mike Evans said in his news conference to just, you know, had to give you the business there a little.
Thank you, my friend. And Lee, I'm coming off my debut on the Mad Dog. I was ready. I had written some stuff down. I knew he was going to go through some predictions. He seemed a little shocked, Lee, when I said I thought the Jets were going to fall on their ass. Lee, I should have said the balls of their ass. You love that line. The balls of their ass.
And balls of their feet. I remember you saying, what? I don't think the Jets' offensive line's worth a damn.
Too much hype, Steve. Way too much hype for the Jets. Way too much.
I don't know about that. I mean, they've got a good defense. Now they have Aaron Rodgers. They've got tremendous young talent, like game-changing young talent. I don't know how good they're going to be, but, man, if they should be a winning team. Otherwise, something's very, very wrong. And
I was listening to Russo today, and he had Frances on with him for an hour.
Oh, and boy.
Frances said he was watching Hard Knocks, and I guess Sala told some guy, hey, you made the team, and Sala said, you're one of us now. And Frances flipped out. He goes, what the hell does that mean? You're 11-23, Sala. What does that mean? He's one of you now.
That guy's got a lot to prove, Steve. So our boy Bobby, who we had breakfast with that day, he's got a lot to prove.
He's got no more to prove than Dennis Allen. Put the records side by side of the Saints head coach. So, hey, we'll get into some of these things, Ira. I'm just going to give an overview of some of your predictions from last year. You went very heavy on Antoine Winfield. And Winfield, you know, he got a little banged up and they put him out of position and it didn't work out. You said he was going to be the MVP of the Bucs defense, 5 interceptions, didn't work out. Another thing you were heavy on was Shaq Barrett having a good year and Trajan Soyinka breaking out. So that was kind of tough. You were very heavy on Russell Gage and Giovanni Bernard.
What happened to my role, Steve? You slowed my role over here, Steve.
But you did score some points when you said Cameron Brait would disappear. And is just shot. You also liked Kate Otten. You said that he would show his versatility. Quote, he will develop a rapport with Brady. And you sort of hit his numbers right on the money. So good for you. And you had some good overall thoughts on the Bucs defense. Although you did say the Buccaneers defensive player taking the biggest step back would be Vita Vea. And he led the team in sacks. But you nailed the Julio Jones situation as well. So,
what record did I give him, Steve?
You had the Bucs at 11-6. They went 8-9.
Not even close, Lee. Not even close.
All right, Sage. We're going to get after it here right now, and we need to hear Ira Kaufman on the secondary, the Buccaneers secondary. Who is the standout performer there this year in among the defensive backs?
Jamel Dean. Jamel Dean will have a big year. His contract situation's behind him. He's got a clear head. I think he's improving, and I think he might be able to pick off about 4 passes this year, which I don't know why in today's game with so much throwing going on every week for every team. I don't know why interceptions are down so much. I guess I do know, Lee. It's so easy to throw the ball, right? But, man, there's a lot of balls filling the airs. And if you get 6 interceptions in the modern day, you're an all pro. In the old days, you would get double digits. But I'm going with Jamel Dean. Lee, who do you like in the secondary?
I want Steve to define successful.
The top dog in the secondary this year. Who is that guy? And if you have to name a second guy, go for it.
I'll name a second guy, and this is why. If you define success as pick, I think Jamel Dean will lead the team in picks. I don't know about 4. I might be willing to go 3. If you're just talking about just all-around good play, I'll stick with Carlton Davis.
Okay.
So who takes a step backwards? You don't like the safeties too much, guys?
You're sticking with the secondary, Steve?
Yeah.
Zion McCollum. Zion McCollum is going to take a step back.
You threw me a curveball there, Steve, because I don't think the secondary is going to take a step back. But if I had to pick one guy on the roster, not starting, but a guy on the roster, Zion McCollum is not taking that. you know, rookie year to second year step forward. So I would say the same thing.
My guy this year, I'm gonna go with Antoine Winfield in the contract year. I think he's just, it's all going to come together for him. And I think it may be a little bit of a leap that he can stay healthy, starting with a little calf injury, but I'm going to go with him. And my guy, who I've said was overrated to begin with, and I'm going to stick with it, is Jamel Dean. I don't see it the way everybody else does, or a lot of people do, so I'll go with him. And I do think the rookie nickel, Christian Isaiah, and I think he's going to get chewed up and spit out for a good chunk of the season, and we may get a replacement there at some point.
I talked to him yesterday. He's got confidence. We talked a little bit about Ciano. Toes on the line, 68 degrees on the thermostat. He was laughing. I had him in hysterics. He's going in with some confidence, but Steve, you might be right. The nickel position is tough, even if you're a veteran, for a rookie, Lee. And I'm not saying he hasn't, you know, deserved to get his shot at the nickel. But, you know, Buck fans who think he's going to be the shade of Rondae Barber, they're in for a big surprise, at least in year one.
To keep it moving in the front seven, who do you like there? Who's going to have a breakthrough season, and who's going to take a step back?
The breakthrough season is going to be Kancey. I believe the guy's the real deal. I think the guy is an impact player. Is he healthy in week one? Is he playing in week one? Who knows? But it's a long season. Or after the bye week, I think Kancey comes into his own. Maybe five or six sacks. Maybe a bunch of tackles for loss, which the Bucs are not famous for. In terms of their upfront guys, I think he's going to be very disruptive. I'm going with Kancey to step out among the front.
I would be the opposite with Kancey because he's, you know, that calf injury that screwed up his entire rookie year. I don't expect him to do anything until Thanksgiving. And I'm going by Vita Vea as a standard. Same thing happened to Vita Vea as a rookie, and he was pretty much invisible till the latter part of the season. Next year, he'll be a breakthrough. But I just think that injury, I mean, he hasn't practiced outside of today. When's the last time he practiced? July? You know, so he's got a lot to catch up on. My gosh, who's going to break through in that front seven? I'll just go with the easy answer. Yaya.
Nice, nice.
All right, Sage, I'm going to take a curveball here. I'm going to say that Greg Gaines has a surprise season. Nobody talks about the guy. Very durable. Played through injury last year. He's a steady guy. 8.5 sacks over the last couple of years. He's going to get plenty of snaps with Vita Vea, you know, not playing as many snaps as a lot of people want him to. Kancey coming back from injury, and he's in a contract year. He's young. I think he's going to be do some surprise things. So as far as a step back, I hate to say it because I love the guy, and I feel good that he's coming back the way he has, but I just think this is probably the end for Shaq Barrett, a 17-game season, his age, the injuries, and, you know, he wasn't 100% sharp last year, and I'm going to say a step back for Shaq.
As far as a step back, Lee, and this is a funny one because taking a step back from what? This guy's never done anything, so it's tough for a step back, but Lee, I hope this guy proves me wrong. I hope, but I just don't see Logan Hall, Lee. I don't see it. I don't see what position he plays. I don't see anything that's his forte. I know he had a couple of sacks last year as a rookie, but Lee, Logan Hall, they've given him opportunities. I don't see him stepping up, and it's a shame because they could really use him.
Yeah, I'm going to say only because I think he's long in the tooth. No other reason that he's long in the tooth is Will Golson. Now, he's not even listed as a starter. I know the depth chart is, you know, it's a fluid thing. But something tells me he's, just because he's played so much and so long, it might be the end of the line for him.
Ira, Devin White, what does his year look like?
Well, he's going to get his 125 tackles. He is, if he stays healthy, because he's that active and he's that quick to the ball. Bad angles, I understand. Not wrapping up, I understand, but he's going to get his buck 25. He's going to get 5 sacks, which is a pretty darn good total for an inside linebacker. But what I want to see, Lee, is that he's at the forefront of a resurrection of this run defense from a team standpoint. It's been slipping. It's driving Bowles crazy. It's been slipping. And he's a part of that, maybe a big part of it. you're not going to blame Levante David, one of the few guys on a team that takes good angles and knows how to tackle, along with Winfield. So Devin White, 125, 10 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Sounds good, Steve, on paper, but we saw him put up the same numbers last year, and off paper, it didn't look that good. I'm not sure he's coming back for another year with the Bucks. Me? I would say probably not.
What do I expect from Devin White?
Yep.
Yes.
I expect him not to get driven down the field 20 yards by a rookie center. I expect him to hustle and not jog in a one-score game. I would hope he returns to his 2020 level of play, where he looked like the fifth overall pick in the draft. I think he's going to be an above-average player. I just hope that, you know, he doesn't get caught with those embarrassing moments where Hall of Fame players call him out on social media and then rewind the tape, constantly showing him screwing up. I don't want to see that. And I expect him to hustle a little bit in a one-score game. If it's a blowout game, I could sort of understand that. But a one-score game at home on primetime TV when you still have you're still in the playoff hunt? Come on.
And Steve, you know, it's not like he's going to lack motivation, whether he's playing for the Bucks or whoever next year. He wants to put something good on tape. So he's highly motivated.
Sage, I'm thinking he's going to have a monster year this year. I'm calling for 9 sacks again. He may have a couple of bad games, but I think he's going to have just a beastly year. And I think part of it is going to go to that conversation, whatever it was with him and Todd Bowles before the season. I have a feeling Bowles promised him, hey, if this happens, we're not going to have you cover for this guy or do this guy. We're just going to unleash you at what you do best and go crazy, and you'll pocket the money and you'll help the team and we'll take care of everything else. So I think it's going to be a liberating year for White. Although I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro, many more good games than bad. All right, Sage, let's move it over. We'll finish up there with the defense with a question of ranking. Points allowed and yardage. Where do they rank? Just give me numbers.
Points allowed, 9th. Points allowed, 9th. Yards, 14.
I'm going to walk out on a limb. Points allowed, 5th. Yards allowed, 8th.
Wow.
So I'm going to flip that a little bit. 7th in yards allowed, 10th in points.
So all three of us kind of believe in this defense and Bowles running this defense.
We have faith.
Yeah, we have faith.
Yeah.
We have faith, Steve.
A lot of talent, and talent usually wins out, and the Bucks' soft schedule and these quarterbacks are going to help that those numbers quite a bit, if you ask me. All right, Sage, offensive side of the ball. We know this fans want to see the team put their foot on the gas, and that always reminds me of BillCurryFord.com. Get yourself a new vehicle today. See all the great offers right there, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, you've already hit this in the previous podcast. We had a little tease, so I expect it to be quick, Ira. Fast pace. We're running the no huddle here. Baker Mayfield, what kind of year does he have?
Baker Mayfield's going to throw for 23 touchdowns. He's going to have 11 interceptions. He's going to throw for 3,500 yards, and his quarterback rating is going to be about 90. He's going to have a pretty good season.
I'm pulling up his stats because I don't want to get stupid here. He will throw for over 2,800 yards.
That's not a big number.
That would be his best season since he took him to the playoffs.
All right.
I'm sorry. 2021, he was 3,010, but still, that's better. That's much better than last year. 18 touchdowns. I think he'll be an average quarterback. And I think that's sort of what they're looking for. You know, if you're going to be, it seems like Todd Bowles wants the 1970s team. Wants to run the ball, wants to play strong defense, wants a game manager, quarterback. Even though it's 2023, he wants a 1978 NFL team.
Steve, the problem with that is an average quarterback could lead to an average record. And an average record gets you screwed in the National Football League.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, I'm looking at Mayfield, and of course, we're assuming he lasts the season. We won't even go there on this prediction podcast. We'll lay off that, but we will, of course, get into the season record in a couple of minutes. But I'm just going to look at, I'm going to turn my eyes toward Geno Smith, who threw for 4,282 yards last year. I'm just going to take 20% off Geno Smith and say that Mayfield's going to play pretty well, but not as well as Smith. So I'm going to put him at 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, about 10 picks, you know, which barely average, but not worth getting rid of quarterback, if you will. And I don't think he's going to take a ton of sacks. I think he's going to play it smart and use his legs effectively. And hopefully it doesn't lead to a ton of picks. But that's what I'm looking at Sage.
Those numbers are pretty similar to what he put up in 2020 in Cleveland. It wasn't like he was throwing 40 passes a game. I mean, it was a run-heavy team. But he had a nice season, and I think he could have a nice season.
Geno Smith led the league in deep ball accuracy and a lot of big-time touchdowns.
And completion percentage.
Yeah, and completion percentage. 30 touchdowns was a big number, and they threw deep a ton. So, you know, I think the offense might suit him with these weapons if they can stay healthy. And that'll lead me to Mike Evans, guys. What are his numbers?
I like Mike Evans' chances to put up big numbers. Lee, I know this sounds like heresy. Maybe it is. Buck fans aren't going to like it. I don't think Evans had a particularly good season last year. He didn't have a bad season. He kept the streak going. To me, I look at Mike Evans, I want touchdowns. He's very good at it. He's very good at it. When you put up 27 touchdowns in Brady's first 2 years as a Buck, and then you fall off the map and he had like three going into the Carolina game where he got three, he's got to get back to double digits. And I think he will, because Brady didn't trust the O-line, and Brady had a habit of not letting plays develop and look for his second and third choices and options. And I think Mayfield will be more patient than Brady. He's going in with confidence about the O-line, Lee. We'll see if that confidence is justified. But I think Mike Evans will average more yards per catch significantly than he did last year.
Wow.
And I think he can catch 10 touchdowns. For Mike Evans, 10 touchdowns is not out of the realm. It's a typical Mike Evans season. And last year I thought was an anomaly. Lee, the man went 11 weeks without reaching the end zone. How could that happen?
Byron Leftwich, that's how it can happen.
I think Evans is going to have a big year, Lee.
You know, I'm at a conundrum with Evans. Could he have a big year? Yeah, but this offense doesn't scream big year.
Yeah, Lee, maybe Mayfield will be willing to throw him those 50-50 balls, especially downfield.
Here's my issue. Should we expect a 1,000-yard receiver with a running offense? I don't know. I don't think so.
Lee, it's only 60 yards a game if he plays all 17 games.
Seattle had two last year, 2,000-yard receivers.
Like Evan Lockett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that the 1,000-yard streak breaks.
Well, I was going to say, Lee, if it's the end of the season and he's close, you know they're going to try to give it to him. They will.
But Bulls do that. I don't know. I don't think Mayfield is Geno Smith. I don't think that's the same kind of off. Well, again, Bulls wants to be 1970s offense. I should not say 1970s, 1990s. That's when he played. Game manager, hand the ball off, keep the game close, play good defense. I say he gets 930 yards.
I think I'll have a big year, Steve, and then depending on how successful the Bucks are as a team, we'll see where Mike Evans' future lies. He might not even make it till the end of the season as a Buccaneer, Steve. It's possible.
Sage, I'm going to go with sort of feed off something you said. I think Evans will get the 1,000 yards without much problem, mostly because they're going to look for him and they're going to make it a focus. And if Baker Mayfield is smart, which I think he is, he's going to be telling Evans all this week and next week, hey, I'm looking for you. We're coming to you. You're the guy. And right. and he's going to have a lot of targets. I think more targets than he's had the last 3 years, when he had to split a lot of targets. Frankly, there'll be less throws out of the backfield, and I just think the numbers will work for him. If we get to week 15 and he's in striking distance, you know they're going to do what they can to get him the ball, which they did last year, although he didn't need the cushion that he ended up with you know, when he got the 1,000 yards. So we'll go there. Otherwise, overall in the offense, throw out Evans, guys. Throw out Baker Mayfield, and who is your standout star on the offense, breakthrough guy, and somebody who stinks?
To me, Lee, all the signs look really bad for Keyshawn Vaughn. I don't see anything coming out of Keyshawn Vaughn. I think Edmonds is ahead of him on the depth chart, and the new guy is going to be ahead of him quickly if he's not already. So in terms of going backwards, I think it's Vaughn, and I think this will be his last year as a Buccaneer. Lee, and no big deal. You know, you misfire, what was your third, fourth round pick? No big deal. No big deal. Happens all the time. So nobody's going to hang Jason Light in effigy because he missed out on Keyshawn Vaughn, especially if Rashad White gets the job done. The star on offense, I think, is Tristan Wirfs. Lee, I'm going with Tristan Wirfs. As good as he was at right tackle, and he was great. He was great. I think he's going to be just as good on the left side, and he's going to get a lot more notice outside of Tampa Bay. I still think people around the country, they really don't know Tristan Wirfs. They don't know how good he is. Hey, he's right tackle. What do we care? Watch him this year. Now, the downside is, Lee, the Bucs are not on national TV. The Bucs are not talked about like they were when number 12 was here. But keep your eye on Tristan Wirfs. I think he had a very good training camp, preseason. There are no concerns about him making this transition. The guy's a marvel, Lee, and he's going to prove it again this fall.
If a tackle is the star of your offense, that tells me, well, here, I'll just say this. Which rookie quarterback are the Bucs drafting in April?
Well, I said it more because I think Wirfs is that good, Lee. I think he's that good.
If the tackle's the star, that means your offense is brutal.
Well, Lee, don't forget, Steve said, well, not counting Mayfield or Mike Evans. Yeah. So, what am I going to say? Dane Dorm? I mean, come on.
If a skill position player is not your star on offense, you got problems.
You might say Trey Palmer over there, Lee. You just might.
No, the star is Chris Godwin. Can't say Evans, so Chris Godwin. I tell people this all the time. When I was watching training camp practice, Evans was lights out. And every time I saw Chris Godwin made a play, I said to myself, what knee? He looked like a totally different player than last year. Granted, because he was coming off a knee injury. That's behind him. That is behind him. Breakout player, I'm going to say, and there's going to be a lot of people applauding for once, because this guy's a popular player, even though we haven't seen him touch a ball yet in a real game, Sean Tucker.
You might be right there, Lee. You might be very, very right there. By the way, Steve, about Godwin, I would say I don't think he's going to catch 100 balls, because I think you're right. I think Evans is going to be the number one target, which he hasn't necessarily been the last few years, Steve. Godwin's going to catch fewer balls, but his average per catch, Steve, which was deflated last year, just like all the Buccaneers were in Brady's last season in Tampa, that's going to go up by 2 or 3 yards per reception.
Lee, so who sucks on offense?
A couple guys I want to say, but I'll give too much blowback if I say it. I'll play typical negative Lee. I'm a burning bush kind of guy, and I think that's healthy to be that way. Until I see it more than one time out of 18 games, I got to see Rashad White dominate on the ground before I will consider him a competent RB1. He can catch. He's pretty good catching out of the backfield. Ivor, that's up your alley. Catching out of the backfield for 6 yards. That's right up your alley.
All right. So just to clarify, Lee, you're predicting a ho-hum season for Rashad White, nowhere matching the hype.
Before the end of the season, John Tucker will be your running back one.
All right. So, now, Sage.
Steve, you're always looking to stir it up by coming up with crazy names. So I'm expecting you to name Chase McLaughlin at this point, Steve.
No. I you know what? I'm going to agree with you, Ira, but I'll go a little bit deeper. I'm going to agree with you on Tristan Wirfs. And the reason I say that is because I was reading a lot about Baker Mayfield and his time in Cleveland. And apparently, Mayfield had a huge public issue with Browns left tackle Greg Robinson. And he didn't...
Greg Robinson? I thought you're talking about... what's his face? He just went in the Hall of Fame.
No.
He was gone.
Yeah. Okay. So, a big public issue with Browns left tackle Greg Robinson, who was there in 2018 and 2019... And I was reading about how Mayfield, was known to sprint right and wanted plays that were shifted to the right because he didn't trust his blind side. And that's why things got so much better for him in 2020, because he wasn't hearing footsteps. So I think Tristan Wirfs dominating on the left side will help in all the normal ways, but I think it's going to be an MVP-like help as it relates to Mayfield and boosting him to a legitimate starter level. My disappointment, Sage, is the receiver depth. I don't trust any of these guys after Evans and Godwin. Uplifting and exciting what we saw from Trey Palmer, but you got to do it in when it counts. And the other guys, Thompson and Jarrett, I think they're practice squad material big time. And usually, you know, a Godwin or an Evans, they might miss three games combined, and you all of a sudden you got to lean on one of those guys. I don't want to lean on one of those guys. So I'll say the receiver depth bites him in the ass.
You better text Sean Sullivan and warn him for his own sake not to listen to this podcast.
Oh, I'm not saying Palmer's going to suck. I think it's going to hurt them, the loss of Gage overall. And just in general, I don't think those guys will be that great. So that's my call. I will text Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. No problem. I'll give him a heads up.
He can hell of Jarrett and Palmer. Trust me. He's going to come after you.
Okay. Steve's a big boy. He can handle it.
It's okay. Hey, that's what makes it fun. You know, sitting around, drinking beers, arguing about what's going to happen this season, disagreeing, pounding our chest. That's what Ira will be doing at Big Storm Brewery. Clearwater, so much fun. All the details at joebucksfan.com. Go out and eat and drink and have fun with the Sage, Joe Bucks fan, Rock Riley, great Bucks fans out there. Going to be a good time. Lastly, Sage, last question, which is the big one. The big one. And of course, you guys know what's coming here. And I know you've all thought about it. So, simple questions, Ira. You don't even have to go crazy with this. But give me the final record of this Buccaneers team and give me a little feel of what it looks like. You know, give me a little feel of first half, second half of the season.
I'm going to go with 6-11. The middle of the season, I think there's a very tough stretch. Road games, I think that's going to do them in. They got younger, Lee. They got rid of some veterans, which down the road is going to help. Because young players will get some experience. But, Lee, in the short term, it's going to hurt their depth. And there's going to be injuries. It's not a question of whether. It's how many. And when the injuries, and I don't like the early bye weekly. I don't like it at all for this team. And I think that's going to hurt. And I think by week 10, their depth is going to be exposed. And I think they're going to end up with about 6 wins, Lee. And I don't know where that'll leave them. In terms of a quarterback draft that Sean Sullivan said is fantastic. Now, we're very early in the college season, but he thinks 7 quarterbacks could go in the first round. Lee, 7. That's what he told me the other night. And I'll say this, Lee, before I turn it over to you. Lee, if they win only 6 games, they sure as hell are drafting a quarterback in the first round next year.
That's because they'll have a new coach. And that coach will probably be an offensive coach. What the hell? I'll freak everybody out. 9-8. I think the defense is going to be good. I really believe the defense is going to be good. That's a crap division they play in. Like Steve has been saying a lot recently, and he's absolutely not wrong. He's absolutely correct. What the hell has Dennis Allen ever done with that?
Nothing.
He's done nothing. I have no faith in the Falcons. You know, there's another team that's trying to turn the clock back to the 1990s. Sooner or later, you're going to be behind a couple scores in the second half. You got to play catch-up. And if you're a running team, especially with Desmond Ridder at quarterback, you ain't playing catch-up. I believe the Bucs will not shock the world. Pearl Harbor shocked the world. They will surprise people. They will have 9 wins. I think they missed out on the playoffs, but they'll have 9 wins, and Todd Bowles will return.
Okay.
All right, Sage. You ready for this?
Steve, don't go crazy, Steve. Don't go. Don't do it.
No, you know, I don't even have anything crazy to say. I'm going to predict the Bucs go 8-9. I don't think Todd Bowles is a good enough coach with this young team and all the challenges that are going to come their way. I don't think he's good enough to go 9-8. I think the depth is going to hurt them just a little bit too much, you know, late in the season. And, you know, I don't like those back-to-back away games at Atlanta, at Green Bay in December. That could be a really tough turning point situation for Bowles and the perception of the team and all that. But I think they've got enough talent on defense and they're a little younger. And gosh, those guys should be so good. 5 years in the system and all that stuff and all the talent. It should be enough to get him a decent season. I think Mayfield will be okay, but I don't see him getting over the hump. So I'm going to go 8-9. And I think it'll be a slugfest all the way through. I don't think they're going to be terrible. I don't think they're ever going to, you know, bust out and win 4 in a row. I just think it'll be, you know, back and forth, win a couple, lose a couple, and that's it.
Steve, will that be enough to for Todd Bowles to survive?
His only shot is if the team really has a lot of character and looks physical and, all right, you know what? You went to San Francisco and you lost 30-27 and you didn't crumble. You came back the next week and you beat the Colts soundly. And just, you got to play good football. And I think everyone will respect good football. But, you know, if the defense collapses like it did in the last six games last year, he's got no shot. I don't care what the record is. That defense better look good all season long. And Canales better know what he look like. He knows what he's doing. Otherwise, he's Bowles' handpicked guy and Bowles is out. But I think he could. There is a pathway to coming back at 8-9.
Yeah, play good football and lose. I don't necessarily think you can, because you're playing good football. That means you're playing mistake-free football. And if you're losing, that tells me you're making enough mistakes to lose.
Well, you could lose to better teams, Lee, talent-wise. Like Steve said, Lee, as the season goes on, especially with the early bye week, it's going to be tough to regroup in November and December. You could get worn down by attrition.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could stumble to the finish. You know, I could see that happening.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Lee. It sounds weird, but, you know, they could go 1-3 and get to the bye week and still be playing pretty solid football. You know, a bunch of, you know, 3-1 score losses, a tough situation, maybe a bad call or something. And then they regroup and get to 3-3 and, you know, just kind of slug it out all year. I don't know. You've already called it, Sage, so I'll leave it on your wisdom. You've said Bowles has to have a winning record to come back, and we're going to hold you to it.
You got it.
All right, Sage, 6-11. You've officially depressed Bucs fans. What do you have to say to them? And what's your final thought?
Well, final thought is, like Lee always says, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. We all want the Bucs to do well. You know, we don't enjoy talking about a coach on the hot seat and a quarterback with a big question mark next to him. Lee, you're right. The division, not very good. I think it's going to improve a little bit. I think Bryce Young will inject a lot of life at Charlotte. Atlanta, they've got offensive weapons, Lee. They got some receivers. I don't know about Desmond Ridder. I think he's got his ceiling's not very high. He's never going to be great, but he could be okay. I think Mayfield's ceiling's a little bit higher than Ritter's at this point. But anyway, I'm sticking with 6-11, Lee. Hope I'm wrong, but I'm certainly not Peter King going 2-15.
Hey, Sage, I'll just throw it out there. I really believe Taylor Heineke's a better quarterback than Desmond Ridder. He's got a career 500 record. He's played well. I think they turned to him pretty quickly, you know, when they smell blood as far as a chance to win without Ridder. And I just think it's going to go that way. But we will see. That's what makes it fun.
I could see that, Steve. I could see that happening.
All right, Sage. Go Bucks.